You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Welcome. Good afternoon. I'm Dr. Laura Murillo, President, CEO of the Houston Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Thank you so much for joining us. Our guest is Gerald Smith. He's one of our Houston legends, and he's here to tell us a little bit about what he does and why. The Houston Hispanic Chamber of Commerce has identified him and celebrates him as one of our Houston legends. Gerald Smith, thanks for being with us.
Laura, it's my pleasure.
Well, thank you so much. I know how busy you are. You're such an important part of our city. We're so very proud of you, the many accomplishments and all that you've done and given back to Houston as a really important part of our economy and the work that you do. Tell the folks who are watching who may not know who Gerald Smith is. Tell us what you do first, and then we'll talk about, you know, how you got there.
Well, thank you. Well, I'm in the investment management business. I run an investment management firm that manages close to $7 billion in assets for institutional investors across the country.
Well, and no small feat. I know I just recently saw the Houston Business Journal rankings, and you're right up there with all of the best in Houston.
Well, thank you.
And
thank
I know you.
You
come up with a very interesting story, Gerald. You know, we've had the great fortune of sitting together and learning one another's story, many things that we have in common, including what I like to believe is a tribute to our parents.
Absolutely.
You know, the upbringing that you had, your entry-level positions that you had here in the Houston area. So talk to folks who may be watching and say, well, you know, he grew up with a silver, you know, spoon in his mouth.
Just the opposite.
It's been opposite. So tell me first, remind me, your parents did what, Gerald?
Well, my mom and dad were actually divorced when I was a young kid. Okay. So I was actually raised by my mom and my grandmother.
Okay.
I grew up here in Houston in Third Ward, Texas.
Yes.
Went to Texas Southern University, a graduate of Jack Yates High School as
yes.
well.
Yes.
And quite honestly, Laura started off my career working at Foley's Department Store.
I remember in retail. Yep. Now, see, if you're watching, you understand why he's such a sharp dresser. And you moved up the ranks within Foley's.
I did. I started working at Foley's when I was, 16?
Uh-huh.
And started off wrapping china.
Okay.
I was a china wrapper.
All right.
I went there during the holiday season to get a job in sales.
Yes.
And unfortunately, while I didn't get a job in sales, mm-hmm. they did hire me to wrap china.
Okay.
And
did you
I
ever break
you,
any of the china?
I did break a few pieces in the beginning, but I'll tell you this quick story. So
yes.
I went on the interview. I had on my coat and tie, my only suit
yes.
at the time, and thought I was really going to get this job. Went down to the fifth floor at Foley's in the main department store, which is no longer there now, which is where Hill Corp is now,
okay.
Which was at 1100 Main Street, mm-hmm. Put on an apron. Everybody was laughing at me because they said, this young kid thought he was going to get a sales job. He's back here wrapping china. And but I decided then that if I got to wrap china, I got to be the best china wrapper I can be.
Good attitude.
And,
good attitude.
From there, went into sales and worked at Foley's all the way through high school and through college.
Uh-huh.
And by the time I graduated from college, I actually had two offers from Foley's,
uh-huh.
one in merchandising as a buyer
yes.
and the other one in personnel.
Mm-hmm.
So I was made an executive even before I graduated from college.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was very fortunate.
Yeah. Well, as I like to say to our emerging leaders and others, take care of the job you have and the next one will find you. And it
absolutely.
Doesn't matter what your
absolutely.
Job is,
that
be
is
the
absolutely
best
correct.
At it. So tell me the role and the influence that the two women in your life play, which are your mother
oh,
and
wow.
your grandmother, and some of the lessons that you've taken as an adult.
Well, you know, it's interesting. My grandmother was an entrepreneur. And so she really was the one that played a pivotal role, if you will, for me when I was coming up.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 9 years old, she taught me the difference between debits and credits. And the fact that she had her own business
mm-hmm.
Back in the 50s and 60s says a lot for,
pioneer.
You know, an African-American woman
yes.
At that time.
Yes.
And so I guess it was always in my blood in the sense to know that in the end, I wanted to do something for myself.
Yes.
But she played a major role in that, and my mom as well, raising two young kids.
Mm-hmm.
She worked at a pharmacy when I was real young called Buffalo Pharmacy, which is used to be in West U, right on the corner of Buffalo Speedway and Bissonnette. From there, I went to work for Coca-Cola. But I remember when my mom used to catch the bus at 5 a.m. in the morning to try, you know, to make sure that my brother and I had food, you know, on the table. And it was real important to me to, being the oldest, that I become somewhat, if you will, the man of the house.
Yes.
I helped her buy her first car when I was, 17 years old, paid half the down payment, and paid half the car note.
Wow.
So, you know, come from very humble beginnings, if you will, from that standpoint.
And we'll come back and talk a little bit about where you are today and also about your children, your grandchildren, the apples of your eye for sure.
Absolutely.
If you're like most grandparents.
Absolutely.
So we'll be right back to talk about that. Thank you for joining us. We'll be right back.
Gosh, what a great organization, what great leadership from Dr. Morello. You always want to go where the future is, and this is where the future is. And when you look at this people, the quality of the production, everything about this organization and the leadership, this is what you want to be a part of.
The Houston Hispanic Chamber of Commerce is the leading regional advocate for the economic and civic interests of the Hispanic business community. Our three legislative priorities include DACA, NAFTA, and Census. Collectively, the economic impact of these three legislative priorities is $24.8 billion in the greater Houston region. The Houston Hispanic Chamber of Commerce announced a wide-ranging partnership with the City of Houston ahead of the pivotal 2020 U.S. Census to increase engagement and broaden awareness. We have utilized our media platform, which includes CBS, Intercom, Univision, KHOU 11, and The Cube to disseminate facts and figures. Additionally, the national media has taken notice of our chamber and has featured us on Bloomberg, CNN, The Washington Post, NPR, MoneyWeek, to name a few, in an effort to educate and emphasize our role as the leader of Houston's new majority. We prepared op-eds, wrote white papers, held press conferences, presented on local and national panels.
NAFTA, as you know, your chamber once again has taken the lead. The numbers don't lie.
This is about jobs, economic impact. We know that a trade between the U.S. and Mexico is over $180 billion as it relates to Texas.
We celebrate the fact that the United States Supreme Court has thrown out that census question that was, are you a U.S. citizen?
It was also a banner year for the Chamber's annual initiatives, groundbreaking and data-focused Hispanic Impact Summits, the Women's Leadership Conference and Business Expo, Health, Innovation, and Technology Summit, our annual Luncheon and Business Expo, the largest in Houston, as well as our elected officials reception, annual awards gala. We graduated Emerging Leaders. The Houston Hispanic Chamber of Commerce remains mission-focused.
And as go Hispanics, so goes Houston.
The Houston Hispanic Chamber of Commerce is the leading regional advocate for the economic and civic interests of the Hispanic business community, the leader of Houston's new majority.
I'm Dr. Laura Murillo, President and CEO of the Houston Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, with Gerald Smith. We're going to continue our story regarding this Houston legend. Gerald, again, I want to thank you on behalf of the Chamber. Anytime I've called upon you or asked you to join us, you make time. I know you're extraordinarily busy with your business, your family, and all of the many things you've engaged with here in the Houston area. But now that you've been doing such great work, I'm sure it's got to be really fulfilling for you to see where you came from, where you are, and certainly, again, in your specific area of business. Very few minorities, very few African Americans that have thrived, not only in the city, but in the country. When did you make that decision to leave the executive world that was Foley's and perhaps other opportunities into this space?
Well, I was very fortunate. After spending a couple of years at Foley's, I was introduced to a young man who was president of an investment banking firm. I must admit, at this time, I didn't know what an investment banker was. But I was intrigued by his lifestyle. I must admit. But once I found out more about that business, I decided this is something that I would like to pursue. And he suggested I started reading the Wall Street Journal and other type of financial books and so forth, and I did. And one day I went to him and I said, you know, listen, I'd like for you to give me an opportunity to come to work for you. Now, I you have to understand, this was a different time. This was 1975, okay? There were no people of color,
right.
No women who were really in investment banking.
Okay.
And so what my friend told me, he says, I think you should start not only interviewing with my firm or his firm, but you should interview with other firms, which I did. I started sending out my resume, and I luckily got interviews. But once they found out I was a person of color, it kind of changed a little bit. And really, no one would give me an opportunity. So what I ended up doing is putting together a business plan. One of the things I learned, you know, I was a business major in school at Texas Southern. I put together a business plan. And at this time, Black Enterprise Magazine has started putting out what they call their list of the 100 top black businesses in the country. And they had a section on financial services firms. And those firms, which included all the black banks, savings and loans, insurance companies, all had assets which could be managed. The total assets, now to me this was a lot of money. It was $974 million, not billion, million dollars. And I said, here's
you
almost,
saw that and
I
you
saw
thought...
almost $1 billion
okay.
that nobody has... No, that's even here. And I could be that person to go out and assist these people in managing part of their portfolios. So I went to these same firms, and one of the firms, which I went back several times to, which I told him, here's a business plan. Here's there's about $1 billion in assets that I'm sure you knew nothing about, or your firm knew nothing about. I said, I could be that person to go out and help these firms in managing their money.
Yes.
And I said to him, I said, I think the only reason why you won't hire me, quite honestly, is because I'm black. But if it's something else, you know, where it makes sense to me that you don't think I can make it and you give me a valid reason, you never have to hear from me again. Because I knew they were tired of me knocking on the door. One thing is, I was very persistent.
Yes.
But I said to him, if I'm right, is if the only reason why you won't hire me is because I'm black, I expect for you to give me the opportunity. And he said, okay, you're hired. And that's how I got in the door. So I started off working with some of these black institutions, but I also called on banks and insurance companies and savings banks in New England. So it was a very interesting start.
Yes,
but it was also after that that I realized that after a period of time that if I were going to be in control of my own destiny, my goal was eventually to have my own firm. But having that opportunity created for me the opportunity to move to New York, work on Wall Street. I was the first African-American to own to have a seat on the New York Futures Exchange back in 1982. I worked for a guy by the name of Nick Brady, who became Secretary of Treasury under Bush 41.
Yes.
You know, again, I was there. I was at Dillon Reed Company. I went to work for Douglas Dillon was the Secretary of Treasury under Kennedy.
Wow.
And Nick Brady obviously became Secretary under Bush 41,
yes.
But very prestigious old firm. But then after a while decided it was time to come back to Houston.
Well,
and
it sounds like, you know, Houston's all the better for it. And
absolutely.
Certainly you've served as a role model. And I'll ask you a question as we wrap up here in terms of a legacy for your children and your two grandchildren, the two boys. What would you like if you could choose your legacy to be for those young children and grandkids?
You know, Laura, one of the things that to me is making sure that we always focus on giving back. One of the things that we've established at Texas Southern, we do have the Center for Entrepreneurship and Innovation, and it's called the Smith Center for entrepreneurship and innovation. And I think that is probably the greatest potential for a legacy in order to ensure that others have an opportunity to become entrepreneurs, to be able to innovate, and to make the city even better than what it is today.
Well, that sounds like quite a legacy. Thanks for all that you do. We really appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us. I'm Dr. Laura Murillo, and again, we want to congratulate our Houston legend, Gerald Smith. Thank you.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.